Now, notice, though, what happens. That was this younger group. They had never seen the temple of old. Verse 12, but many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, they wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. So that you had here two groups. One were the younger ones. They'd never seen the temple of old. And my, this was something new, and all their youth and enthusiasm, they're praising God. And the Lord bless them, by the way. And then there were the old-timers. They remembered the temple of Solomon. And it was a beautiful thing. And I have a notion many of these old codgers, one would say to the other, oh my, this is nothing. If you could just have seen Solomon's temple, these young people are there and they're speaking for their benefit. Oh, you would see this is nothing. Well, that wasn't very encouraging to the young, to be sure. And it is true. And that was one of the objections that God had to overcome, was the discouragement that came to these people because of the old-timers speaking like that. And as a result, we find Haggai the prophet telling the people that the Lord says, go ahead and build. God's with you. And he was not in that temple at the end. The Shekinah glory had left. But God is with you now, and you go ahead and build. May I say to you that a lot of folk, you know, old-timers, discourage the work of God today. My feeling is that one of the reasons that this present spiritual movement is largely out of the church today is because that there are many old-timers that are holding back. They remember the old days, and they're not about to enter the new days. And there's a danger of us sitting in judgment on this movement today. I find myself, I'm an old-timer, very critical of many facets of this program that I see today. But let's withhold judgment for a while. Let's see what's going to happen. The Lord knows those that are his own, and he's going to get the wheat and the tares separated. That's his business, not ours. And let's thank God that there is a movement today, and rejoice in it, not sit and weep and criticize in the present hour. Now, I recall that when I was a student in seminary, I had a little church down on a red clay hill in Georgia. And it was on a dirt road, and when we had a big rain, nobody could come to the church. Even the preacher just didn't make it sometime. And what happened was that I stayed over my first summer there, and we had a meeting. It's customary in the South, was in the old days, to have meetings. They call them sometimes protracted meetings in the summertime. But we had it, and they asked me to do the preaching, and I preached. And in spite of the preacher, the Lord blessed, and there were people saved. And I never shall forget the last night. It was a warm night. We sat out on these steps of the church. And a lot of the young officers there were rejoicing, and I was rejoicing with them. And then there was sitting there an old timer. He hadn't said anything. He had long whiskers. He always looked like Father Time. And he said, well, boys, you had a pretty good meeting, but I remember when. And we heard all about when, let me tell you. And when he got through, our meeting just didn't seem like it was anything at all. And that was very discouraging. I remember we all left a little depressed that night with that old boy trying to tell us how big it was. And I asked a member of the church that was about as old as he was, and she said to me, she says, it wasn't very much. Said, you know, says he's in his dotage, and as he gets older, that meeting gets bigger and bigger. And she said, actually, wasn't near as wonderful as he thought it was.